theater. There's new theater. Always glad to have new theater, and especially when it's as interesting as A Bright Room Called Day, which is opening this Friday at Stage Left and will run for 4 weekends, the Friday, Saturday, 7:30, Sunday, 2 o'clock times. Tony Kushner play, which for people who are on the inside already means something of the relevance generally of Tony Kushner plays about people and civilizations and the way they interact. But I'm probably getting ahead of ourselves. I think we should go to the four actors, I'm pleased to say, four of the five characters from A Bright Room Called Day are with us. He plays the character of Boz, but Dallin Tipton is with us. And good morning, Dallin.
Good morning, Vern. Hello.
And I know that you have some involvement with Stage Left and also a fair involvement just with theater in general in town. Were you watching kind of from the distance when they were planning to do this play or aware that it was coming along or anything like that?
Yes, I was aware that the project was selected some time ago. As with everything, a show is quite a commitment. So I wasn't certain of my involvement until very recently, but I'm pleased to be a part of it.
Great, till the famous auditions happening. And even at the point that you auditioned, and in a way I might open this up to any of you, what did you know about the play or Tony Kushner?
Yes, my good friend Jenny Oliver had suggested that I read it and become familiar with it. It was staged at the Budio some time ago. I know you were able to catch it there. And after reading it on my holiday trip back home, I became enamored with all of the themes and all of the characters. And I knew that it was something that spoke very deeply to issues that I care about. And I knew that I wanted to be involved in the production.
You say, parenthetically, holiday trip back home. What was it? From where to where?
I was traveling to Joplin, Missouri, to visit my mother and my brother down there.
Very good. Okay, well, so that's Dallin Tipton. Let me open it up to any of you as you audition for the play, because that's always an interesting thing. Is one just going to take an audition? Oh, well, I want to be in something, and then they put you in something, or were you specifically auditioning for this play? And if so, did you know what you were getting into? Anybody want to jump into this one?
Well,
this is Harper Clanton.
In my case, I actually was completely unfamiliar with the play and the project. However, I was familiar with Stage Left and, in particular, our director, Lindsay Teeter, who is just absolutely phenomenal. I've worked with her before, and so when I found out that she was directing this, I knew that she had to have her hands on something that was a quality piece, and so I was just really excited to go and see what it was and find out. So I went into the audition completely blind. I hadn't read the script. I knew nothing about the piece. And after being cast and getting familiar with not only the other actors, but the piece itself, it truly is an amazing production.
And what about Christine or Colton? This is Christine Mullally.
The funny thing is, I didn't actually audition. Lindsay sent me a text a few weeks after auditions asking me if I would like to play the part of Agnes. We had worked together previously before as well. And she sent me a script and I read it and I fell in love.
Great. And Colton?
Well, I kind of went in blind. I've been friends with Dallin here for a long time. I've worked at Stage Left in one show last year. And he invited me and I came in, read for a couple of different characters, and then got a character that I didn't even audition for. And immediately dove into the script and absolutely fell in love. It feels to me extremely relevant to just about everything that's going on today.
And what's the name of the fifth person that's in the play? The actor? Aren't there five characters?
There are more. There are approximately eight.
Oh, okay.
Eight characters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we have.
That's right. There are.
Yes. So we have a fair amount of people who are not spoken for, but we have Trom, Colton's counterpart, Malik. We also have Hutz, who is opposite Agnes for most scenes, and then we also have an appearance by the devil. That we're really excited to stage and for you all to see, we also have Tammy Rochford, who is wonderfully talented and just a darling. She's playing Paulinka Erdnes.
Oh, okay.
So
Owen Gale.
And we also have another character, D'Alta, who is played by Gail Smith Reynolds, who does a fantastic, fantastic job.
So this range of characters, with many of whom have Germanic sounding names, this takes place in Germany or Austria. Does it even specify where it is?
Our play is set in 1932, 1933, Weimar Berlin.
Okay.
Yes, it's right at the terminus of the Weimar Republic, at the inciting rise of Nazi fascism.
Oh, so just right at that, that turning point. So it's not known. Maybe it's suspected, but not known what the results are going to be. Mm-hmm. And so that even helps the dramatic part of the play, because you characters have very, as I hope we're going to point out here in the next few minutes, very differing feelings about what your lives are about to be, right?
Oh, correct. Absolutely. Yeah.
And the four of you do represent five friends that live together.
Five nuclear friends.
Or five nuclear friends. So you're the core of this.
Well, their characters are the main friends group. My character, Trom, as well as Malik, are actually representatives of the Communist Party in Berlin, they become friends and connected with. Mm-hmm. And we bring in a little more of the kind of underspoken left side of politics in Berlin at the time, and how they were dealing with their own political struggles. And helps kind of play that into the bigger scheme of things.
So that's great. We have all these great dramatic tensions. We have left, right. We have communist, fascist. We have dying Weimar, growing Hitler, the whole growing National Socialism, all happening. Well, what let's do? Let's go to a scene that that Harper and Christine have, but actually not quite yet. Harper, you have the first words, I think, in this scene. Describe to us Annabella, your character.
Annabella is very maternal. She cares very, very deeply about all the people she comes across, and she's very much the definition of a team player. She pulls everybody to do their best and be their best, and she's not willing to accept anything less than a fight. So she's very dramatic. She's an artist. She's a painter. But for her, that's just another tool in her repertoire to fight Hitler and bring communism back to the stronghold it was in Germany prior to all this happening.
And Christine, your character of Agnes.
So Agnes is an actress, a film actress. She likes to pretend that she knows about politics, because all of her friends are so involved, and so she's so excited. She wants to be involved.
It's kind of cool.
Yes, but she doesn't know as much as she'd like to think that she does, but she still wants to be involved. She almost doesn't know how. She's the safe space for her group of friends, and she is so attached to her apartment. I'm not going to spoil anything for the play, but that is one of her central themes, is this home that she has, that she's created with her friends, and how this all gets upset by the atmosphere.
So we have a little crash pad vibe too.
Yes,
going on.
The whole play takes place in her apartment.
In my apartment, yes.
Okay, well let's go to a scene between these two characters.
I know you think I'm a reactionary for feeling this way. You judge everyone all the time. But I feel it anyways. I feel...
feel. So much feeling. Don't feel. Think for a change.
There's nothing to think about.
There's plenty.
Nothing pleasant.
Unpleasant, then. We need apartments. We need apartments belonging to people who are sympathetic.
We who?
The party.
The party's been outlawed.
As I was saying, we need apartments. Way stations to the east. Storage rooms.
No.
Not for storage, then. A way station. There are people hiding.
No.
Agnes.
Everyone's leaving. They should be staying. Everyone is going. They should be fighting. What are people like me supposed to do if people like you just leave?
Some of us are staying. Some can't.
Are you leaving?
I can't say.
You are. I knew you would. For God's sake, Annabella, what is going to happen to us?
I don't know.
And still, you recklessly ask me to.
Not recklessly.
It sounds dangerous.
It is dangerous.
Then I won't do it.
The party needs it.
There is no party. There's no more party. You're a painter, not a politician, so start acting like one.
And how do I do that?
Leave Agnes. Me alone!
No! I have never been that kind of painter. Art is never enough. It never does enough. We will be remembered for two things. Our communist art and our fascist politics.
Here we go. A scene from A Bright Room Called Day, Tony Kushner's play, which opens this Friday at Stage Left. And so, again, a wonderful backup of some of the issues that have already been discussed. Colton, since you represent the Communist Party in this thing, talk about how your character would react to the conversation that just went on. Is it drop everything for the party or what?
Well, there's kind of two phases. There's pre-Reichstag fire and there's post-Reichstag fire. Beforehand, we're a little more focused on kind of keeping our party exactly how we want it. So trying not to splinter the party. Everyone kind of needs to toe the party line. Just trying to correct any discrepancies that we might have. And we're at the same time taking orders from Moscow. After the Reichstag event, everything changes. It's no longer safe to be political outside. It's dangerous to even say that you are a communist or a former communist. So in that scene, Annabella is really representing what the party has become at that point. They've been driven underground. They've been exiled out of the country. Some stay and fight. Some return to Moscow to try to help the revolution there. And things just splinter.
And which again makes for awfully great drama because there are these deep tensions. I'm trying to remember from, you know, a few years ago when I saw it. Are there also Aryan issues here? Is one of the characters Jewish, and does that come up, or is that not part of this particular discussion?
That is less of a topic of the discussion, although there are references to the anti-Semitism of the Nazis and their nationalism. Mm-hmm. So it's not the focal point, but it is mentioned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What other issues? Gay issues? Does that come up at all?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's where my character is featured. Baz works for the Institute of Human Sexuality. Weimar Germany had a cultural burgeoning of homosexual rights under one of the specific articles in their penal code. It was illegal to be homosexual from about the 1890s onward. However, the actual chief of police refused to enforce that ordinance. It's suspected that he was actually sympathetic to homosexuality or was homosexual himself. There was a very, very live underground jazz culture that supported a large community. And Magnus Hirschfeld was conducting a lot of research and a lot of work towards the advancement of, suicide prevention for people who were homosexual at the time and who were afraid of coming out into that culture and that society. And then following the Reichstag event, they also attacked the Institute of Human Sexuality there and arrested many of the people who worked there. And Baz is stuck in the middle of that, being homosexual himself. He sees all of those things that he fought for and fought to advance. He sees them pretty well smoldered and extinguished when they were so very close. So they even had a vote on the floor of the Reichstag scheduled. It was so very close to them actually rescinding that ordinance, and it just never came to fruition. And it wouldn't until almost 1970. It wasn't until 67 in post-war Germany that could finally be addressed.
And when many of us think about, the rise of Hitler, we think of the late 30s, and so it's kind of astounding to me that this play is set in the 1932.
Yes.
And is it considered that this play, that Tony Kushner did his homework, and that there's a lot of authenticity to the timeline and to the issues he's bringing up?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. In one of my scenes, Tony Kushner manages to pretty much pack the entire position of the KPD in Moscow into like 5 pages. Mm-hmm. It's incredible how concise he's able to be with the actual history.
Mm-hmm. Every word is important, and in many instances, it's written like poetry. I mean, Kushner has done such an incredible job. Every single word is beautiful and important, mm-hmm. and every moment is very vivid and contributes to a greater understanding of that time mm-hmm. and of all mm-hmm. of the different different themes happening, because Germany itself was very complex and torn and fraught at that mm-hmm. time, and mm-hmm. and. You really can't say enough for his writing. It was astounding. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you having said that, then I would presume that the most important thing for you as actors is not any stage movement or any even to some extent body stuff. Is it the delivering of words, or where on the continuum of acting between words and movement are your jobs in this play?
The text is certainly, I would say, the most important aspect mm-hmm. of the play. But the movements of the play just lend a sense of realism to it, that mm-hmm. it is kind of like a slice of life mm-hmm. in a very extreme mm-hmm. Time period.
I would also like to add, I think that it varies greatly between each character. Like, for example, our Agnes, who does a phenomenal job. She is, and I don't want to speak for you too much, but she's kind of immobilized. And so words and that type of thing are very, mm-hmm. very important. Mm-hmm. And some of our characters very heavily rely on words. And then we also have some characters, such as Annabella Gotchling, and, of course, Hutz, who wasn't able to be here today, who are much larger, much more expressive, and use that a little bit more as their way of communicating, along with mm-hmm. this incredible dialogue to bring these characters to life, mm-hmm. because as much as there is this conversation happening between them, there's so much tension and turmoil that the conversation rapidly devolves into a much bigger thing. And I don't know if I'm making any sense here.
Yes, you are, exactly. Because what I wanted to point out is that what the radio listener doesn't know is that during the scene that you were doing, I saw the everything played out on your faces, you know, which of course is the essential, mm-hmm. which is the essential thing in the acting, and I assume for you the real essential joy of being in a play like this, that you can fully inhabit and express it. But that was so obvious and coming off really well that way. A couple of prosaic things. Talk about the use of the slides in the production of this play. It's not just continuous, you know, people talking in the room.
Exactly. So Kushner has selected a number of very, very important critical escalating moments in the political climate, and those are demonstrated with historical slides. So these are actual photographs from the period that demonstrate the collapse of the Weimar Republic and the rise of Nazi power. You get to see delineated for you the actual votes that were taking place during the Reichstag. You had an incredible amount of vying for power among that parliament because it was so fractious and divided. So you had moments where where communism performed really healthily in voting, and then you had an overwhelming tide of nationalism that it could not withstand. And mm-hmm. so those slides will separate every scene to give you a general idea and a context of what's happening outside of Agnes's room, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you never see outside of that.
Right.
So it contextualizes it, puts it into a bigger picture for you, and is really important to not only the tempo, but also to the actual what am I trying to say here?
I think like to understanding the timeline of events.
Yes.
Because the play takes place over the course of 2 years, mm-hmm. and it gives kind of like snippets during important mm-hmm. periods, and the slides serve to what happened in between.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, this play, A Bright Room Called Day, and you know, I think it's in a way so obvious we don't even need a much talk about current relevance, because I think people will easily, either from what we've said or certainly in seeing the play, or will extrapolate their own. But I want to quickly interject here that while we can think about current relevance, I had an experience just like this in 1970 when I was in the Army in New York City, mm-hmm. and I was hanging with some Socialist Workers Party people, and there was a guy who was quitting the violin so he could work harder on party business. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is part of the human condition, mm-hmm. not just unique to 2019.
And I think it's interesting you actually bring that up, because the play was written during the Reagan administration, mm-hmm. and actually does feature a few flash forwards into the life of a character named Zilla, who is mm-hmm. currently living in the Reagan administration. Mm-hmm. And so the play itself draws this parallel between 1930s Berlin and 1980s America. So it actually mm-hmm. leaves the modern scheme of things, like the modern context, up to the audience, and it's really interesting how mm-hmm. apparent that parallel is, even though Kushner wrote it 30 years ago.
As much as right. we'd like to say that we're insulated from these things that we see happening to our characters in a place that seems so far away and so foreign now, it's very eerie, and it can make you stop and really, really think hard about the things that you see happening just inside your phone every day.
Mm-hmm. A Bright Room Called Day, opening this Friday, Saturday night, 7:30, Sunday at 2, and then for the following three weekends at Stage Left. Just speaking was Dallin Tipton and the other male voice, Colton Sullivan. So thank you to the two of you and the two women who did that wonderful scene. Harper Clanton and Christine Mullally. Thank you all for coming in for this.
Thank you so much for having us.